Good morning. I hope you've woken up wrapped in or are about to sleep under a blanket of freedom, inalienable and God-given and worthy of defense. We Americans and the free people of the world are under a full-scale assault for our freedoms, the ones that have not already been usurped, that is. And there's currently a plan to hinder our future ability to resist, alter for the better, and even when necessary, to overthrow such tyranny. The full court press on us is a multi-pronged and multifaceted attack, from the 24/7 info war propaganda news cycle, the endless domestic crises. Our health is being attacked, personal health and cyber health. The connections between us and our doctors has been poisoned. National sovereignty is threatened. Faith in our institutions is eroding. Freedom is threatened. Faith in our elected officials has waned. Voters feel disenfranchised. America, as we know it, is the last bastion of freedom, even though we as Americans know we have a system far from perfect. Happy Wednesday, everyone. So glad y'all joined us here on the AM Grind. My name is Brett LeGrove. We've got a great show for you today. Later in the second half, hopefully a little bit before, but probably in the last hour, we're going to welcome Brigadier General Ernest Audino, and he is going to be representing the Gold Institute for International Strategy, and he's going to give us a great insight into all things around the world from the Mid East, and we're going to branch out from there. So I sure hope y'all can join us for that a little bit later. But let's go ahead and get straight into the news, shall we? Quote, "The Taiwan question is the core interest of China, the bedrock of the political foundation of China-U.S. relations, and the first red line that must not be crossed in the U.S.-China relations." China's foreign minister says this yesterday. So we have more escalations between China and Taiwan and America. As we reported yesterday, the Taiwanese president will be meeting with Biden soon in California. And we've also had reports that the alliance between China and Russia is getting stronger. China must, this is a report here that China must advance its relations with Russia as it becomes the world's, as the world becomes more turbulent, Foreign Minister Qin Gang said on Tuesday. Speaking to reporters at an annual parliamentary session in Beijing, Qin said that close interactions between both leaders, Xi Jinping and President Vladimir Putin, provided the anchor for China-Russia relations. Asked whether it is possible that China and Russia would abandon the dollar and euro for bilateral trade, Qin said that countries should use whatever currency is efficient, safe, and credible. Quote, "Currency should not be the trump card for unilateral sanctions, still less a disguise for bullying and coercion," he said. Talked about this a lot as far as the petrodollar's fragile state at the moment. And China's also, as foreign minister has warned of a clash with the United States unless Washington ceases its attempts to contain Beijing, highlighting the Chinese Communist Party's concern over escalation tensions between rival superpowers. This is per the Financial Times. Quote, "If the U.S. doesn't hit the brakes and continues to barrel down the wrong track, no amount of guardrails can prevent the carriage from derailing and crashing, and there will surely be a conflict and confrontation," Qin Gang said on Tuesday. Oh, I love his guardrails and wrong track and crashing and derailing reference. Appreciate that, Qin Gang. The foreign minister's remarks made at a press conference during an annual session of China's rubber stamp legislature, rather, following a highly unusual direct criticism of the U.S. by China's leader Xi Jinping. We have more deadly violence at the border here. Two of the four United States citizens who were kidnapped in Mexico during a kidnap that was actually caught on camera, and there was a cartel shootout on Friday. Two of them have been found dead. Two have been found alive. One of them was injured. This is a horrible situation because we know that this group of people were heading down for medical treatment, and they presumably had a large amount of money on them, and they were either caught up in a kidnapping scheme, or they were either taken, by surprise, just a crime of opportunity, as it were. We'll see how it was. We've known that at least some of us have known that there has been a problem at the border for so very long, and hopefully this will spur on action to help shore up our border and to take care of our citizens. And we have to understand that relations with Mexico will never be normalized until we get this situation with the cartel violence under control. So this we'll keep watching this and see if anything else unfolds. I think that we even had Lindsey Graham come out and say that we needed to continue the Trump era policies of keeping our borders shut. So that's one other interesting thing here. And so we also have a lot of interesting news here. Well, actually, I'll keep going with the China and Taiwan thing. We understand that that the China has boosted their war preparation. They've increased their military budget reportedly by 10%. However, some numbers and some people say that that is skewed and that it's closer to 25%, which would be quite a step up. So I mentioned earlier that Senator Graham said he would introduce a bill to set the stage for U.S. military force in Mexico, going further than Trump's era policies and border policies. So he said, quote, "I would introduce legislation to make certain Mexican cartels foreign terrorist organizations under U.S. law and set the stage for military force if necessary. I would tell the Mexican government, if you don't clean up your act, we're going to clean it up for you," the senator said. When these things spill over into our nation, it is definitely something that we need to take note of. One could argue and surmise that there already has been incursions on our border, especially given the accusations that have recently come out that the cartels, particularly Sinaloa cartel, had paid off in bribes certain elected officials, and in fact, linking to Katie Hobbs. So we'll keep watching that, and we appreciate all of Carrie Lake's hard work there. We mentioned we've had a lot of things, topics come up over the last few days that seem to be popping up in different areas. So the West is pursuing a green energy revolution, and without lithium, it won't happen. Now in South America, they are trying to account for at least 2/3 of global supply, and they're looking to create a, quote, lithium OPEC. So we've talked about lithium being, we've talked pros and cons of lithium. I think that we've seen a few more pros than we have cons, but we've also, we've talked on the show before that I've mentioned that America, particularly in Nevada, has one of the largest deposits of lithium in the entire world. A lot of it is trapped in clay-like formation and is mixed in with boron. And this is another interesting thing too, because one of the largest deposits of boron and lithium is in the Nevada desert. And we've been also following and connecting the dots with the news that the Japanese and American scientists had supposedly created a fusion reaction, and they did that through the use of boron and hydrogen. So this is an interesting turn of events that lithium has gotten bigger and bigger, as a card to be played in the future as a major asset. And then we have these strides that have been made for free energy or cheaper energy through the use of boron and hydrogen. Don't ask me about the specifics of it, but I just follow the headlines. So this is something we should watch out for. Israel, nearly all of the reserve pilots of the Israeli Air Force Force's sole heavy strike on the F-15 squadron have informed their commander that instead of showing up for reserve duty, they'll be protesting against the government. Large groups of reservists in many units have made similar statements when it comes to squadron and beyond its small core of full-time pilots, relies heavily on its cadre of reservists, and impacts the IAF strategic readiness. This unprecedented political protest by the Israeli military is unprecedented. This almost leans back to what we were talking about the other day in America, that I feel like a majority of the Americans would be behind our servicemen if they were given orders to go boots on the ground in Ukraine and fight for them, that they should not follow that illegal order. In fact, we got kind of into the minutiae of that actual debate of how a military service person would go about not following a direct order that's against their oath. So this is something interesting to keep an eye on, and also it's something that we will bring up To the general later, because he could hopefully shed some light on some other things that are happening. So we have, like we said, it was nearly all of the reserve pilots, about 37 out of 40 reserve pilots for the Israeli Air Force have politically protested against the Israeli military elite. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see what happens. Let's see. The chip ban has pushed a big overhaul in the CCP to get technology in-house. The West could have played to their comparative advantage, continued to dominate the market. Now, the Chinese will likely move with what is most likely more cheaper chips as they get done in other sectors. Now, this is interesting to me that, because China says over and over again that Taiwan is theirs, and that's where most of the chips are held. So I'm not really sure why they're trying to get the technology in-house if they already consider Taiwan part of their house. So this is really confusing. We've got several more things here. Oh, I can't go on without saying something about we had Trucker Tuesday yesterday, but it's almost like it's been Tucker Tuesday or Tucker Week because he has been releasing different clips of the J6 footage and an interesting comparison between the Tucker's release of the J6 footage versus the all of the Twitter file releases and dumps that Taibbi and his crew have been putting out is very interesting because we they've all but ignored the Twitter files and of course yesterday we had Chuckie Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and all the other Dems and bought and sold CCP actors that they were condemning Tucker for that, calling for Rupert Murdoch to get rid of him and to let not let him not let him release this stuff. And for once, I'm actually in agreement with Chuckie Schumer. I think Tucker should leave Fox News personally. So that's my opinion. And it was even more sad to see. I live here in Mobile, Alabama, and I remember one of the, I live in a grew up in a historic district, and one of the and we have beautiful houses and wonderful. I love the city down here, but 2005, I think it was. We had a film crew that came on our street for to interview one of the ladies who lived on the street, and in fact, Mobile was featured very heavily in a Ken Burns documentary called "The War." I've had great respect for Ken Burns for many, many years for lots of the things that he's put out, especially "The War." "The War" was a definitely an interesting documentary because it took the tact of speaking to the actual soldiers who were there from their perspective, rather than giving a documentary on all of the great generals and whatnot, and that was great. But Ken Burns has now compared Tucker Carlson to both Soviets and Nazis for releasing the January 6th video. Now, I don't know what videos or blackmail material they have on Ken Burns to make him say this, but I'm extremely disappointed in Ken Burns, and he's doing an extreme disservice to his own legacy and to history's legacy. So shame on you, Ken Burns. Shame on you for that. Really, really disheartening to hear that. China had set a carrier-borne air power breakthrough. This month, the South China Morning Post reported that China might be preparing to deploy a new stealth fighter or perhaps a stealth drone from its Fujian aircraft carrier. Now, this was interesting. I was thinking about this the other day when they were talking about drones that they were going to release from airborne vehicles. I guess if you released a drone in China and were trying to fly it over to America, this is just if, I'm just spitballing here. Like if you wanted to release a drone over America and you were the Chinese, would you release that drone in China and have it fly over the Pacific Ocean and use all of its power? Or would you maybe have it attached to a platform on a balloon, perhaps? That might be an interesting thing to look at. Y'all remember the payload of all the things that the balloons were carrying? Well, this popped into my head the other day. It would be interesting if there was a bunch of drones on there and they just deployed in all the pictures that we were looking at or was after a benign balloon floating away. I don't know. This is just what I was thinking, but there's been a lot of talk about drones, drone warfare, and now that we have the carrier that they're talking about stealth drones, I don't know. I'm just putting pieces together. They may not link up. The Chinese Communist Party tightens its grip on power and aims to make the country more resilient as Western sanctions in its latest overhaul. Now, Xi Jinping has come out and he said strong words before condemning U.S. actions, but not so to the degree that he has lately. And so we're having to keep an eye on this China situation because of the furthering escalations in Ukraine. What's the distraction here? So we have several different things here. One other. This is from The Intercept. U.S. Special Operations Command is responsible for some of the country's most secretive military endeavors. It's gearing up to conduct internet propaganda and deception campaigns online using deep fake videos, according to the federal contracting documents reviewed by The Intercept. This is per The Intercept. The plans, which also describe hacking internet-connected devices to eavesdrop in order to assess foreign populations' susceptibility to propaganda, come at a time of intense global debate over technological sophistication, quote, disinformation campaigns, their effectiveness, and the ethics of their use. The deep fake wars have begun, everyone. While the U.S. government routinely warns against the risk of deep fakes and is openly working to build tools to counter them, the document from Special Operations Command represents a nearly unprecedented instance of the American government or any other government openly signaling its desire to use the highly controversial technology offensively. last week, Jack Posobiec and his crew put out a deep fake of Biden calling for the enacting of the Selective Services. A lot of people got upset about it. I don't know. When I saw it, I kind of thought it was fake. You could kind of see his mouth was not moving naturally, but that's neither here nor there. I guess if you're watching it on a small phone, you don't really notice. But these deep fakes are very interesting. I think some of us have seen the John Hader deep fakes where he impersonates another actor, and there's several of these other things coming around now. This is where our intuition is going to really come into play here, where we're going to have to decide what is real and what is not by our own eyes or being deceived. These deep fakes, I'm wondering when they were talking about finding different tools to counter them. It reminds me of the Photoshop technology. When Photoshop technology first came out, it was groundbreaking, being able to Photoshop and it changed different things. If you remember the early 90s, there was a Michael Jackson video called Black and White, and there was a it was a huge hubbub. It was a big deal back then because at the end of the video, you could see there was a bunch of people that it would morph from one face to the other, and that's the first time that technology had ever been really used that we'd ever seen. And now, 20 years, 25 years later, we've got even more technology that can do this. But when Photoshop first started, everybody was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is great Photoshop. Well, tools have certainly come out within the last few years that can detect when Photoshop has been used on a certain program. So, this has a lot of people freaking out, obviously. But also, I think this sort of technology will be applied to deepfakes. So hopefully, we will be able to not be taken advantage of by that. Attorney General Merrick Garland. Yeah, the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, became the latest high-level U.S. official to travel to Ukraine on Friday, March 3rd, when he made an unannounced visit to the western city of Lviv. According to Justice Department officials, Garland was invited by Ukraine's top prosecutor to make the trip. During the visit, he met with Ukrainian president and pledged U.S. support to investigate alleged war crimes. Wow, I didn't know it was the United States Attorney's job to investigate war crimes in a foreign land. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. If I'm wrong about that, somebody throw their hand up and tell me that I'm wrong about that. But seems like he should be over here. So let's see here. We have a few more things here, but I'll just go over a few more. For years, and this is from Politico, for years, the Department of Homeland Security has run a virtually unknown program gathering domestic intelligence. One of many revelations in a wide-ranging track. This is from Politico. So there's a lot of things that have come out. Those documents reveal that a significant number of employees in the DHS's intelligence office have raised concerns that the work they're doing could be illegal. Under the domestic intelligence program, officials are allowed to seek interviews with just about anyone in the United States. Carrie Bachner, former believe the career senior legislative advisor to the DHS Under Secretary for Intelligence, said that the fact that the agency is directly questioning Americans as part of the domestic intelligence program is deeply concerning, given the history of scandals related to the past domestic intelligence programs by the FBI. Yes, definitely. We all remember J. Edgar Hoover, for sure. Elon Musk. had a bid to try to put implant chips into human brains. Apparently, this is shot down by the feds. Neuralink CEO Elon Musk's request to implant brain chips into human trials was rejected by the Biden administration last year, according to a report. Musk's company, which has been conducting experiments on monkeys for years, claims that implanting chips into human brains will lead to advances in curing conditions such as blindness and paralysis. Does the end justify the means? I don't know. When we talk about these things, it's really difficult for me to wrap my head around and to think that it's okay for us to keep testing things on other animals. It's obviously, I don't know, it just seems wrong to me. But on that note, there are plenty of things that have happened in the past with monkeys as far as viruses, and monkeys have escaped from certain areas before. Outside of New Orleans, there was a big escape of a bunch of lab monkeys that were infected with viruses. And now we have proof that Elon Musk and Neuralink are doing testing with brain chips on monkeys, and that's just makes me sick. I don't know. I don't think that's that great. I don't know why the ends justify the means. I understand somebody who's paralyzed and maybe needs, that could use this technology. But again, don't know. I'm sorry. I won't go on about that. You tell me what you think. Israel airstrike hits Aleppo airport 1 month after earthquake devastated by city. An Israeli airstrike hit Syria's Aleppo International Airport early Tuesday, damaging the runway and putting the airport out of service, Syria's news agency reported. At 2:07 a.m., quote, the Israeli army carried out an air attack on the sea towards the international airport of Aleppo, which caused material damage to it. As a result, it was not operating. So this continues. Well, I think we're going to be able to hopefully wrap our at least sort of try to wrap our heads around the situation that's going on with Iran, Israel, and of course Syria when the general comes and joins us later this afternoon or this morning. It seems like afternoon for me, but later this morning he will hopefully be able to shed some light on that, and then we're also going to go over the China situation as well. So with us, this is I'm going to have to give you another link on this. But anyway, these with 6 decades of social and political crisis, Cuba breaks immigration record for the U.S. The number of Cubans seeking to enter the U.S. jumped from 39,000 in 2021 to over 224,000 in 2022. This is just unprecedented. Of course, we've reported about all the rolling blackouts that have happened all over Cuba, and how I don't know. I guess the communism just isn't all that awesome down there. I don't know. I thought communism was supposed to be where it's at. I mean, that's what AOC has been saying. That it's where it's at, man. But apparently, they want to come over here because they don't like it down there. Chile again has tightened its borders with Peru and Bolivia. According to surveys, the main concern of Chileans is crime, which many citizens of the country relate to the phenomenon of immigration. Social pressure in the face of fear of growing violence in the country's streets led President Boric's government to mobilize military personnel on the northern border with Peru and Bolivia, and to increase this week the contingent of military personnel and surroundings. As we know, Peru has been in a state of emergency for nearly 60 days now. There's been constant clashes with protesters and armed military personnel, and it's kind of gone both ways. I've seen, at least from my eyes, I've seen maybe protesters go a little too far, and I've also seen the military go too far. We're trying to get in contact with a few people in Peru or around Peru so that we can get a little bit more of an idea of what's going on from a person in the area. I mean, of course, I'll reach out to to a few other high-level people and try to get their thoughts on it. But it appears to me that sometimes when we talk to people who are on the ground, individual people, we tend to get a little bit more of a feel of what's going on. So we hope that everything's going all right down in there, because we certainly get a lot of reports of unrest. There's also been a huge outbreak of avian flu that's hit Peru. The virus has been detected in wild and in commercial birds. At least 700,000 birds were killed after a highly pathogenic avian flu was detected in 4 farms in Peru. So one of the most recent cases in the commercial sector was reported on January 24th this year. So now also we've had them, they cut off all exports of chicken, and we also have had mad cow disease outbreaks in Brazil, and Brazil has suspended exports of beef while they figure that out. The FTC and the Biden administration are on the attack against Elon Musk. They're demanding that Musk identify all the journalists who have been given access to the Twitter files. Of course, this is wrong. We don't live in some totalitarian government where they can just demand what they want and take it from us. So this is a bunch of BS, and the FTC can roll it up real tight. Britain's National Grid uses cold fire emergency units for the first time in the country's power market because they failed to provide enough electricity. And you know that what's completely ironic and just moronic about this whole thing is that we've reported that one of the main wind farms off the north coast of Scotland has been producing so much energy, so much electricity that they had to shut it down because they weren't able to store the electricity or properly move it from one area to the next. So I don't know what's going on over there. They've got too much energy in one place, and they've got not enough getting to where it needs to be. Ugh. So, U.S. stocks indices fall as Powell says that the Federal Reserve is likely to need to raise rates higher and possibly faster. This is something that kind of we've been talking about for a while now. I was of the impression, and several people are of the impression, that we should have raised the rates higher to begin with, and faster to begin with, rather than just tiny incremental. I mean, it may hurt in the short term, but we're gonna have to rip this band-aid off, you know. And now this was interesting. Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a video the other day, and as we know, we've seen Arnold Schwarzenegger over the years, and his father was, you know, has ties to the Nazis, and you know, of course, there's been speculation over the years of, you know, pictures of him wearing a skull ring or yada yada yada. Who knows? Whatever. That's all speculation. But we do know that his father was a Nazi. So in a new video, this is what's interesting. I've never heard him say this. Is that Schwarzenegger warned in a new video that the path of hate and anti-Semitism could end up making people be a quote unquote loser like his Nazi father. So that's kind of interesting to hear Schwarzenegger say that. And now we've got reports from the New York Times that a quote pro-Ukrainian group may have carried out the attack on the Nord Stream pipeline. A lot of people are reporting this quote a pro-Ukrainian group, quote unquote a pro-Ukrainian group. There's even reports that, you know, some people are saying, oh, it was a Ukrainian yacht and it was this or that. Well, I don't know, but as far as I know, one pro-Ukrainian group is the Biden administration. So, but as we know, that does not connect to us. We have even more unrest in Eastern Europe as well, in Georgia. And we're not talking about Atlanta and the treehouse protesters. We're talking about Georgia over there in Europe. And police had to disperse protesters again after Parliament initially backed a law called the Foreign Agents, which has been criticized by the South Caucasus country. And we have even more protests going on in places like Germany, still in France. There's protests going on everywhere. And what do we always say? That the revolution will not be televised. They will be doing their best to not let these things out, but we're going to keep reporting them here. So we also have a few more things. CCP agent provocateur Mitch McConnell says it was a mistake for Fox News to depict January 6 in a way that completely at variance with what our chief law enforcement official here at the Capitol thinks. Okay. Chuck Schumer calls for Rupert Murdoch to stop Tucker Carlson from continuing his January 6 reports. Yeah, I kind of agree with that, Chucky. Go ahead, Rupert Murdoch, fire him. Let's make it a big deal, and then we'll start a new organization. Let's see. A couple other things here. We have more earthquakes. I'm sure Kiwi Last and I will talk about that later. This is off of Papua New Guinea. And we had two 6.5s as well. And this is, there's another one off the co western coast of New Zealand. So hopefully, you know, Kiwi Last's migraine had subsided before the earth started shaking. So let's see here. We will keep going with a few things here. You know, Kenokoa the Great put out a lot of different interesting tweets yesterday. And one of which he mentions that Twitter is the top. He mentions that Elon Musk says, and this is from Kenakoa the Great on Twitter, says that Twitter is the top news application worldwide, capturing the attention of the most influential individuals for over 130 million hours each day, and the revenue potential is enormous. So first off, thank you, Elon. He just complimented you, me, and everybody here because we are capturing the attention of the most influential individuals in the world. He said, quote, Twitter is, by the way, the number one news app in the world. In terms of what people download for news, it's number one. There are 500 million active users and 250 million daily users, of which I would say 180 million significant daily users, where it's a meaningful amount of time. The average amount of time, this is where I kind of chuckled. The average amount of time spent on Twitter per day of that 250 million people is around half an hour. Okay. All right. If that's half an hour, then a lot of us on this Twitter space are addicts because we're here for hours and hours and hours. And I've seen your faces there too. So, you know, I think this is grossly underestimated how long people stay on Twitter spaces. So, but let's just go with it. All right. The average amount of time people spend on Twitter per day is 250 million is a half an hour. I think we've already hit half an hour right now. So you've already hit your daily limit. You addicts, you. So this is an interesting point because, he's pointing out that it's not very monetized, right? So how valuable is the attention that people are giving? Call it 130 million hours of human attention per day of people that read. So these are generally the smartest and most influential people in the world. Thank you. And have 130 million hours of their hard time per day. That's a lot currently. Twitter makes about 5 or 6 cents per hour of that time. And he says, I think it's a poorly monetized situation. We need ads that are relevant and useful. I think we do that, we can probably get at least 15, 20 to 25 cents an hour. I think an actual potential for Twitter's revenue is gigantic. Then he went further on to say that he feels that Twitter could be the largest financial institution in the world soon. Now, if you want to check out that long thread, go on Twitter and go follow Kenakoa the Great. There's several threads that he talks about. Lots of things dealing with this and what that Elon said. And he puts out a lot of great stuff anyway. So definitely follow him. And Technofog is another great one. So Mobile, Alabama native, unfortunately, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin made an unannounced visit to Iraq on Tuesday and said that the U.S. is committed to maintaining its military presence in the country. I'm sure they're excited about that. And so are the men and women who have to go serve, I'm sure. The U.S. currently has about 2,500 troops based in Iraq to help the Iraqi government fight against ISIS, which was created by the CIA. Austin's visit to the country comes ahead of the 20th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, which destabilized the region and led to the rise of ISIS. Well, it was already pretty destabilized to begin with, and with respect. So let's see here. In other news, later we're going to have probably next week sometime, we're going to get into the minutia of CBDCs, programmable currencies, and the comparison and contrasting them to decentralized currencies such as Bitcoin and other cryptos. Brazil has begun trials for its own CBDC, the digital real. Brazil yesterday started a pilot project to create a digital real, the country's future official virtual currency. The central bank announced the digital currency will be tested until February 2024. These currencies are complete BS, y'all. That was the need for the raspberry there. So we have Mexican migration officers and Mexico's criminal investigation agency found that 343 migrants inside an abandoned truck trailer on the highway in Veracruz of eastern Mexico on Sunday night. 103 unaccompanied minors were mostly from Guatemala were among the migrants. There were also 212 adults from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Ecuador. El Salvador. What was the news from there? Oh yeah, the president came out the other day and condemned the Biden administration and said that they were lawless and they needed to rein themselves in. That was interesting as well. Let's see here. We've got a few more things here that I want to get to. Of course, we mentioned the other day about the bill that was being introduced in Florida, House Bill 269 for quote public nuisances. Republicans in Florida are trying to get it passed right now, and this is a ridiculous law. I don't know if we went over it a bit the other day, but this is the actual language in the HB 269 Public Nuisances Act. This prohibits the distri no, excuse me, prohibits distribution of certain materials that lead to littering. Okay, prohibits stalking of certain individuals. Okay, prohibits willful and malicious defacement, injury, or damage to certain property. Well, that's all right. Removes minimum damage requirement for violation. Prohibits projection of certain images onto buildings or other property without permission. Prohibits interference with certain assemblies. Provides enhanced criminal penalties for persons who commit violations while evidencing religious or ethnic. Requires certain violations to be reported hate crimes. Sorry. So this is where we get into, I think, how the anything that goes against the Constitution is automatically, thrown out. So prohibits interference with certain assemblies. That means, okay, so we're even if we're if I'm reading this correctly, even if you're handing out leaflets on the street to people for any sort of cause, which is a completely common thing, you can be thrown into jail now for that for 5 years. And that following it, if this law passes, it will be so unconstitutional. I mean, yeah, if you're passing out flyers, it's a hate crime, and that's classified as a third degree felony with a minimum of 5 year prison sentence. What's going on, Florida? You used to be the cool one, man. We used to be the place to go, and now we're turning into the People's Republic of Florida over here. We gotta, in fact, the general who's coming in later, he works with one of the congressmen in Florida. Maybe we can talk to him about hopefully getting him on so he can maybe explain this or explain his position on it. Of course, we're not proponents of hate crimes here on the AM grind, but we are a proponent of freedom. And that's the one thing that freedom isn't always pretty. Freedom is ugly sometimes. So you can call me every name under the sun that you like, just don't threaten to kill me. And then free speech. North Korea has warned on Tuesday that it would be a clear declaration of war if its missiles were shot down over the Pacific during its new t missile launch test, which were recently announced. They're going to be test firing a barrage of new solid fuel weapons that they'll be firing them over the Pacific Ocean. Most likely it will be around Japan. Japan always ends up getting the brunt of those. Again, we mentioned that the earthquake has hit in New Ireland region of Papua New Guinea. And I know we're getting along here on the news, but I'm sorry, guys. There's just so much here to talk about. Of course, we've got the mass rally and the mass strikes in France over Macron's pension reform happening right now. And of course, I mentioned earlier that the president of El Salvador says that Biden's government is, quote, putting proven innocents in jail and is at the same time concerned about putting proven criminals and concerned about us putting proven criminals in jail. So I think he's making reference to the J6ers that who, by the way, should be released 100% should be released right now. This is ridiculous that they're even in there anymore. So as I said earlier, Elon Musk said that Twitter could possibly become one of the world's biggest financial institutions in the world. And we definitely see that. We mentioned all of the other things that are going on in the world. I could keep going on and on and on because there's news that happens in every day, but I guess we'll go ahead and in the interest of moving on, I'm going to start opening up the microphone. So if anybody wants to request a mic, go ahead and re request a mic and we will go on from there. And I just want to remind everybody as well to please tweet out the space because the thing is you're in control of how big this gets, of whether this information gets out there. And as we know, certain people who put out information over the years have been accused of being gatekeepers of information and keeping just a little bit back enough and just a little bit put forward so that people can get a little bit, but still gatekeeping the information. Whereas right here, I consider us doormen to the information, where I'd rather open the door and let you go on and have access to all information. So no more gatekeepers. We're going to be the doormen for information here. So thank you.